Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Hey guys, welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. My name is Jen. I am the host here. Hope you all have been having a gorgeous week and that you are ready for the weekend tomorrow. My question for you today is, do you work on Saturdays? I know a lot of people that actually do work on Saturdays. I used to work on Saturdays because I was a hairdresser for many years. And Saturday was the busy day because everybody was off work, and except for me and the other stylists. And we'd have more customers on Saturdays. So we always worked on Saturdays. Then for a while, I actually took Saturdays off and started working as a waitress for about 3 months. But I hated the job so much as a waitress that I'd get migraines every Friday. And eventually I couldn't handle it. I hated being a waitress so much because I am a terrible, terrible multitasker. Like awful. Absolutely awful. So I made a terrible waitress, and I also did not enjoy the place that I worked either. The culture there was very unhealthy. I have stories, actually. I've worked a lot of places, and I have some stories. Man, I have a lot of hilarious stories. I went out to dinner with a friend of mine a while back, and I was like telling her some of the stories of the places I worked. And she was like, I have never heard anything so crazy in my life. So here's a challenge for you guys. Email me and tell me the craziest story that you have ever encountered at your workplace. Speaking of very unhealthy relationships and workplaces, that's what we're going to be talking about today, kind of. To segue into scripture, we're going to be talking about 1 Samuel chapter 20 and this very bad confrontation that Saul and Jonathan end up having. Let's read 1 Samuel 20, 16 through 34. I'll be reading out the WEB as always. So Jonathan made a covenant with David's house, saying, Yahweh will require it at the hand of David's enemies. Jonathan caused David to swear again, for the love that he had to him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to him, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed, because your seat will be empty. When you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid yourself when this started, and remain by the stone Ezel. I will shoot 3 arrows on its side, as though I shot at a mark. Behold, I will send the boy, saying, go and find the arrows. If I tell the boy, behold, the arrows are on this side of you, take them. Then come, for there is peace to you and no danger, as Yahweh lives. But if I say to the boy, behold, the arrows are beyond you, then go your way, for Yahweh has sent you away. Concerning the matter which you and I have spoken of, behold, Yahweh is between you and me forever. So David hid himself in the field. When the new moon had come, the king sat himself down to eat food. The king sat on the seat, and as at other times, even on the seat by the wall. And Jonathan stood up, and Abner sat by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul didn't say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. On the next day after the new moon, the second day, David's place was empty. Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why doesn't the son of Jesse come to eat either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city. My brother has commanded me to be there. Now, if I found favor in your eyes, please let me go away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, don't I know that you've chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you will not be established, or will your kingdom. Therefore now send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, why should he be put to death? What has he done? Saul cast his spear at him to strike him. By this, Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had treated him shamefully. David and Jonathan are best friends, and Jonathan did not want David to die. So once again, he is trying to go to his father to protect David. This is the second time now that Jonathan has done this. The first time, Jonathan was semi-successful, at least in the fact that Saul said that he had sinned and that he was not going to try to kill David anymore, but then quickly went back on that the second David had like fame again, and Saul did not have that same fame that David had. Immediately, Saul changed his mind and was trying to kill David all over again. But this time, he didn't tell Jonathan about the plan to kill David. Instead, he kind of tried to do it himself, like with his servants. And Jonathan didn't really know about the plan. So, of course, David is upset at Jonathan because he's like, did Jonathan betray me? Like, is he, you know, working with his dad to try to kill me? So David went to go visit Jonathan in the episode we talked about on Wednesday. And David was like, okay, here's the deal. Are you, you know, working with your dad to try to kill me? Because if you are, then just kill me now. And Jonathan's like, what are you talking about? My dad's not trying to kill you. And David's like, yeah, he is, man. Like, he came after me pretty hard here. He's tried to kill me on 5 different occasions in like the past week. So yeah, he's trying to kill me. And Jonathan's like, no, no, no. My father tells me everything. And David's like, well, he didn't tell you this. So after all that happens, Jonathan and David reestablish their promise of friendship. And Jonathan promises to help David escape from Saul, if Saul were in fact trying to kill David. Jonathan's like, look, I will find out whether or not my dad is trying to kill you, and I will bring you word through a secret message. So here is the message, verses 18 through 23. Then Jonathan said to him, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. When you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid yourself when this all started, and remain by the stone easel. I will shoot 3 arrows on its side as though I shot at a mark. Behold, I will send the boy, saying, go find the arrows. If I tell the boy, behold, the arrows are on this side of you, take them. Then come, for there is peace to you, and you are in no danger as Yahweh lives. But if I say to the boy, behold, the arrows are beyond you, then go your way, for Yahweh has sent you away. Concerning this matter which you and I have spoken of, behold, Yahweh is between you and me forever. So to summarize all of this, Jonathan was going to find out whether or not Saul was really trying to kill David, because David was not going to be at the Feast of the New Moon, which was a very common monthly feast that the Israelites would do. And Jonathan would make an excuse as to why David's place was empty. But meanwhile, David would be hiding out in this field, which this is the second time now that David is hiding in this particular field. And for the same reason, Saul trying to kill him, which is kind of interesting. David would be hiding out in this field waiting for Jonathan to bring him word whether or not Saul's mind has been changed about David. Now, you might be asking, though, why would Saul's mind change? Like, why would David think that maybe he could come home after everything he's been through with Saul, this like roller coaster ride that Saul is constantly on with his emotions just changing with the wind? Well, don't forget that in the last chapter, we talked about this very spiritual experience that Saul had with the Holy Spirit, where Saul started prophesying all day and all night in his undies or naked on the ground. And I'm sure David, you know, knew that Saul had gone through that experience and maybe was wondering if Saul's heart had been changed by the Holy Spirit and that maybe he wasn't trying to kill David any longer. So David was probably hoping and praying that Saul had changed his mind, that Saul was taking guidance again from the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, Saul was not. And it did not seem like Saul changed at all from that experience, which is so unfortunate because that was a perfect opportunity for Saul to repent, for Saul to change his mind, for Saul to ask God to forgive him for all of the terrible things that he had done in the past. But Saul was so stubborn and he was so hard-hearted and so concerned about his outward appearance and how people looked at him and what people thought of him to change his mind and to change his heart toward God. He cared more about other people and what other people thought of him than he did about what God thought of him. But of course, David is possibly hoping and praying that Saul has changed his mind, because this is David's home. Don't forget, he is son-in-law to Saul. He's got a wife, Saul's daughter, at home waiting for him to come back. And David has been established in the palace, not to mention his best friend is there, Jonathan, who he sees probably quite often. And it's hard to leave all of that behind, your entire family and your friends. I'm sure David is worried sick that he's going to have to be on the run from Saul. But anyway, Jonathan is testing to see whether or not Saul's heart is changed towards David. So if Saul changed his mind, the code was this. Jonathan would take a boy with him, and he would go out into the field where David was and secretly shoot 3 arrows as if he was trying to hit something off in the distance. And then he would send the boy to go get the arrows. And if he says to the boy, "Hey, the arrows are right next to you," then that means that David is okay to come home. But if he says to the boy, "The arrows are in front of you or beyond you," then that means that David needs to leave immediately, because Saul certainly is trying to kill David. So that was the secret message. And also, nobody was to find out about the secret message. This was between Jonathan and David only. Even the little boy fetching the arrows wasn't allowed to know about it. And that was pretty much what Jonathan said in verse 23. "Concerning this matter, which you and I have spoken of, behold, Yahweh is between you and me forever." So he says, "I'm not going to tell anybody about this. This is between you and me and God." So David ends up hiding himself in the field. And so the new moon festival comes, and David is not at his usual place. And Saul is on his seat, as the other times is what it says, by the wall. And Jonathan stood up, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul didn't say anything that day, for he thought, "Something has happened to him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean." When Israelites were not clean, meaning they had done something to make themselves unclean, they would have to sit out certain things. So if David, for example, accidentally touched a dead carcass on the side of the road, that would mean that David is unclean and he could not go to the feast. So that's what Saul thought. He's like, somehow David's not clean. He's probably sitting at home and waiting for tomorrow's feast. Apparently this feast was several days long, 3 days probably. So the next day, David's place was still empty, and Saul starts to get angry because he's like, okay, David can't be unclean 2 days in a row. So he says to Jonathan, his son, "Why doesn't the son of Jesse come to eat either yesterday or today?" And so Jonathan answers Saul, "Well, you know, David asked to go back home to Bethlehem, and I let him go because his family is having a yearly sacrifice. And so he wanted to be there. And I told him that was okay." And Saul becomes infuriated with Jonathan, and he calls him the son of a bee. Okay, without saying the word on this family-friendly show. He calls him a very cruel name, which also that means Saul was insulting his own wife, though we don't know much about Saul's wife at all. He was insulting his own wife and Jonathan's mother and Jonathan himself. So he says, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, don't I know that you've chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness?" So he's just insulting Jonathan and Jonathan's mother. And also he's insulting David here too, because he's calling him the son of Jesse. And don't forget that David's family was not well off, was not rich by any means. David himself was a shepherd. That was the servant's position. So he's calling him the son of Jesse instead of his real title, which was David, the son-in-law to the king. So he's insulting both Jonathan, his own wife, and also David in one sentence. He says, "For as long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, you will not be established, nor will your kingdom. Therefore, now send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." So Saul is raging here. He is raging at his own son. And Jonathan tries to calm his father down once again. He says, "Why What has he done that he should die? And Saul can't hear it. He flies into a rage, takes the spear that is nearby him or in his hand, and he tries to kill his own son with it. It says Saul cast his spear at him to strike him or to kill him. And somehow Jonathan slipped out of that. I don't know if Saul was just a very bad shot, a very bad aim with that spear, but he's never successful when he's using it. And that's probably because God was protecting the lives of David and Jonathan from Saul, who has turned into such a jealous, rageful person that he's even willing to kill his own son for siding with David at this point. Insulting Jonathan, calling Jonathan names, and telling Jonathan that he is a disgrace to the family because he is allowing another person to become the king. Because Jonathan would have been the person that would have been the next king of Israel, according to the monarchy, right? So Jonathan knows now, because his father just tried to kill him at the dinner table, that David's life is in danger. Because if Saul is willing to kill his own son at the dinner table, then that means that Saul is like foaming at the mouth and happy and ready to kill David. But it's kind of interesting what Jonathan does here. It says Jonathan leaves the table in great anger. Fierce anger is what it says. So of course, Jonathan is infuriated that he and his father just had this insane confrontation. He didn't eat any food that day, and he grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. This is interesting to me, though, because this makes me think that Jonathan might have been used to his father's outbursts of anger and his father just being a very volatile man for his entire life. And it's kind of clear also in the previous chapters where we read about Jonathan having to confront Saul or talk to Saul about certain things. You can see that Jonathan is dancing around his like walking on eggshells, basically, the entire time, because he's probably used to his dad's violence and outbursts of anger at this point in time. And I mean, I'm sure he's also not happy that he had just been treated that way also, but he's mostly upset for David. I think Jonathan has now taken off his rose-colored glasses also, because before he truly believed that his dad had changed, because his dad had said, "I won't try to kill David." I think that Jonathan wanted to see the best in his father. I think that's also possibly why Jonathan is taking this so hard. It's because when you think that somebody has changed, but then when it's revealed that they haven't changed at all, it's so hurtful, probably even more hurtful than if you had never had that hope that they had changed or never put on those rose-colored glasses. So Jonathan is obviously distraught here because he realizes now that his father has not changed at all, and also that he is not going to see his best friend for many, many years. Well, friends, don't forget to check out the Alive Coloring Devotionals. You still have time to get them before Passion Week in a couple days. So make sure to check out all the links listed in the description of this episode. Go to Books, and you will find the Alive Coloring Devotionals in there. It's a great gift to give your family members. It's a great gift to get your kids or to get yourself if you just want to relax with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea in the morning and color some pictures and read a devotional about Jesus' sacrifice for you. Faithful listeners, have a fantastic rest of your weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Happy listening, and God bless.